Chapter 19, An End and a Beginning. The day came when Owen, Juanita, Eamon, and Alex were on Island E. Owen got the generator going and took out the test equipment he'd brought with him. He rigged an antenna and examined the spectrum for any unusual energy. He was looking from below the AM broadcast band to well up into the microwave region. There were spikes that came and went, but no sustained bands of energy either inside or outside the cave. He checked for radioactive particle decay, but got only the normal background count one sees everywhere. Eamon had brought a camera sensitive in the infrared region that he rigged to do time-lapse recording, so they would have several days of images taken inside the cave. Alex was very quiet. It was like he was feeling the air around him. It was on the second morning that he said to Juanita, "I think the time has come." She gave him a hug. He wished her and Glenn a good life. Then he walked far into the cave. A dull aura formed around him, and he was gone. Eamon's camera showed about what they'd seen with their eyes. The next day they were back on South Georgia Island. 2 days later the ship took them to Stanley. They flew in a twin-engine prop plane to Santiago, Chile. Owen and Liz took a flight to New York and then to London. Eamon was going with Juanita back to Argentina. They were sitting in the airport lounge and Juanita was enveloped in a dark cloud. Eamon tried to cheer her up. "I will miss our little friend, too. He was sort of like Gershom."
"Who?"
"You know, Moses' son."
"I'm afraid I'm very ignorant of such things."
"There's something funny about this, Juanita. I, the non-believer, must teach you about the Bible? Wherever my mother is, she must be laughing at me."
"Okay, so why is he like Gershom?"
"Moses fled from Egypt to Midian. He married Zipporah and called their first son Gershom because I have been a stranger in a strange land." Alex was just such a stranger. When they got to Buenos Aires, Eamon went sightseeing and Juanita went straight to see Glenn. He knew right away she was very troubled. He put his arm around her and said, "Let's get married." She managed to smile. "You know that's what I want more than anything. Let's tell our folks and set a date."
"No.
Marry me now. Marry me here."
"You don't want the bridal gown and the maids of honor and all that?"
"A few years ago, yes, but I've grown up. My father would borrow money to give me such a wedding, but I'm not so selfish as to want him to. If my mother were alive, she would enjoy planning a big wedding, but she's dead."
"No, let's get married. We can have a party and invite family and announce our wedding after the fact. I very much need you now, not years from now."
A few days later, they were married in the courthouse by a judge with two student friends from the university for witnesses. When they were man and wife, Juanita reclaimed that glow that Alex had first noted when they were on their way back from London. Their honeymoon was brief, just a few days at a resort in Montevideo, and then Glenn was back in school and Juanita was back in Rawson. Dr. Mendoza came in for his morning latte and Juanita told him Alex was gone. She'd hoped he'd made it to his home, wherever that might be. Dr. Mendoza said, "I wouldn't worry. He was very smart and very capable. Perhaps he will visit us. I liked sitting and chatting with him. Frankly, he was more thoughtful and rational than most of my former colleagues at the university." Rufa took it very hard. Juanita made sure to take him for walks every day. He would just lie on the rug waiting for the door to open. He'd give a pathetic little whine from time to time as if his heart were broken. Both Flor and Rosa noted a change in Juanita. Salsa noted it most of all.
She was used to seeing Juanita with papers spread out on a table, making notes and doing calculations and talking on the phone to suppliers. Now she was just as apt to stare out into space at nothing and draw mindless doodles. The mystery was solved when Flor got a letter from an old friend who lived near Buenos Aires. She enclosed a newspaper clipping. It was a listing of the marriage licenses issued. One had been circled in pencil. Why those two scamps, thought Flor. That week, Juanita invited everyone to a party she and Glenn would be hosting. Flor and Rosa were way ahead of her. They had plans of their own. Juanita got a call from the manager of the hall she'd rented for the party. There had been a mistake. The hall had been booked by someone else. However, they were going to let her have a larger hall at the same price. Juanita suspected nothing. Her father came up from Tierra del Fuego. She'd booked him a room at the La Manana, but Rosa insisted he stay with her. Rosa told him what they suspected and that she and Flor had secretly taken over the party. When Juanita and Glenn got to the hall on the day of the party, they expected to see about 30 friends and family, a table with wine and punch, and a light buffet. When they went through the door, they thought they were in the wrong place. A very lively band was playing. There were tables set for a feast around the perimeter of the hall. More than 100 people were present. Then they caught sight of Flor and Glenn Sr., smiling and laughing like they were going to burst. There were hugs and kisses, and Juanita's father, he was on the dance floor with Rosa. He was an excellent dancer. Two businessmen were sitting at one of the tables. One of them said, "Now there are some pants in that family." The other said, "I'd trade you a truckload of pants to borrow her business sense for a week." The band struck up a tango, and Juanita and Glenn took to the floor. They were still not Alita and Iago, but it didn't matter. They were Juanita and Glenn.